good morning. Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Another Sunday, two more hours with Aaron and Elizabeth and our guest Michael Shaw this morning. We're at KCNR 1460 AM. We are streaming live and chatting. If you go to readingteaparty.com and click on radio show, you can do either one of those. If you want to give us an actual live call, that number is 605-4567. Our show today is sponsored by North State Tax Consultants, Bill Miller Auto Transport. Now, that's actually Miller Auto Transport, but I just like to throw Bill's first name out there once in a while.
Except you won't be able to find him in the phone book.
No, you won't. Yeah. So it's really just Miller Auto Transport. And our third one is...
All Temp Tactical
sorry.
Lube.
I'm sorry.
All Temp Tactical Lube, my favorite, because now our microphones in here don't squeak around when we swivel them.
I'm going to use that on my garage door opener because I'm having a heck of a time with it.
I use it on everything that's metal. Put it on metal things. We've got to take apart our doorknob, put it in there too, because it's hard to lock our
doors. It's cool stuff. It really is.
All Temp Tactical Lube. If you're not a gun enthusiast, I'm sure you have other things that don't work properly that could use an amazing lube. And no, it's not all the stuff you think it is. It's not silicone. It's not graphite.
And you get 500 applications out of a little teeny tiny bottle.
Absolutely. And there's a special still on the website. Again, like Elizabeth said, go to Reading Tea Party, click on Radio Show, look on the right-hand side, and you will see All Temp Tactical Lube. And Jim Myatt invented this stuff. Jim, I don't know what he was doing, hanging out in his garage, mixing stuff. Scary.
Very cool. But, you know, isn't that...
And he's going to ship it to the military for you. They are big, big supporters of our troops.
And that's the American way. You know, you tinker in your garage, you come up with a great invention. That's the beauty of this country. And if nobody gets in your way, you can do something great and something big.
Absolutely.
And his wife, Nancy, who is the sweetest woman walking the face of the earth, is his spokesperson. She does an awesome job.
We just love these guys.
Yeah, they're cool.
Amazing.
So, to find out more,
okay,
go to our website.
So, lots of stuff going on. We've got Michael Shaw today. He's going to talk to us some more about Agenda 21. What are the odds of that? See, we told you we were going to talk about private property rights, like, I don't know, 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have.
And so there's no end.
Yeah, you want to talk about
lack
of private property rights. Now we talk about Agenda 21.
And you know what? Just a suggestion to people, as you're listening to this show, if you're sitting near your computer, go to freedomadvocates.org. That is Michael Shaw's website. It's fantastic. It is probably one of the most organized websites I have ever seen. I mean, you have no problem following articles and finding links and learning all about what's going on in terms of chipping away at our rights. So it's a great website. So if you want to have a better understanding of our conversation this morning, go to his website real quick and do a quick scan.
Yeah, and he's organized enough that he actually had a link back to the radio program.
Yeah,
wow.
This morning. Yeah, so we're really in good company.
We're in very good company. So we're going to take a break here in just a little bit, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Michael Shaw. I want to give you a little overview here on his bio in case he doesn't brag on himself. I'll just read you what we got on the page here. Michael Shaw is the leading critic of sustainable development. Oh, my best friend. Also known as the UN's Agenda 21, which is the action plan implementing the globalist One World Vision. This year, Michael has been and will be speaking around the country, delivering his current speech, The Ultimate War, Globalism versus America. In this expose, he illustrates the local infiltration of globalist policy in the community in which he is speaking. Gosh, imagine that. He should run to Walnut Creek. I was just there yesterday, and I took pictures of the rabbit hutches by the BART station.
Mm-hmm.
There they all were with little stores below them, and super spooky.
Welcome to the future.
Michael Shaw, he leads freedomadvocates.org that Elizabeth just told you about, which is dedicated to providing news and information on what America stands for and how Agenda 21 is designed to transform America and the human experience. So, sustainable is bad, smart's bad, now transformation's bad, but I guess we kind of knew that, actually. Transformation was always kind of bad. So when we come back from this little break here, we're going to talk about staving off globalism with Michael Shaw. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. If you're just tuning in, you can give us a call at 605-4567 or go to our website, readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show, and that will take you to our media page where you can read about our sponsors, you can chat, you can stream live if you've got your computer on. You've got lots of options. And before we get any further, just wanted to remind you that our meetings are every Monday night, 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonneville Road. The Bonneville Baptist Church has very generously made their space available to us for the last year, and we call it home now, so that's where we meet without fail every Monday night. And this Monday, our own state senator, Doug LaMalfa, will be joining us to give us the state of the state. So if you're sitting at home and you're wondering what's going on and why nobody's doing anything and you're blogging on the Record Searchlight or calling into radio shows, come on out and meet Mr. LaMalfa in person and find out for yourself.
Absolutely. And meet a whole bunch of people who care about the kinds of things you care about. So, Michael, are you out there?
I am right here.
Good morning.
That is awesome. You guys are packing to go to Florida, huh?
Well, we are. You know, the country is beginning to wake up in ways that matter, because if you don't understand your enemy, you cannot win any war. I mean, we learned that from Sun Tzu 2,500 years ago. To win when you're being taken on, you've got to know what's attacking you. And without knowing Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, we do not understand the nature of the attack that America's under today, and we will lose. That means we become just an outpost in a world tyranny. A world tyranny that's designed to massively reduce human population and take control of all human action. So it's vitally critical that people understand the nature of this globalist assault upon our country, upon our local communities, because that's where the battle really is being fought. Is that every community in the United States has its sustainability program, and that is the program to transform us into a one-world governmental unit.
And Michael, you know, I was looking at your website last night, which, by the way, it's an outstanding website. It's so well done, so easy to follow and navigate, but you have lots of battles being fought in local communities, like you mentioned, and if someone goes to your website, they can actually follow what's happening in a variety of communities around the country.
Well, the awakening is beginning to happen, and in the nick of time. I mean, our currency is falling apart. Our financial structure is falling apart. Law and order is at a tipping point. And but there are lots of places around the country where the nature of what's afflicting us today is becoming understood by people, and the fight back has begun. And if this spreads, then we can look to a second coming of America. You know, this new revolution is going to be different from our first revolution. It's not going to be one with guns and armies. It's going to be one of knowledge and information.
Yeah,
so that's
a good point.
Shows like this are just so important.
And large numbers of people. I mean, we stress to people all the time. I'm always talking to somebody, either on the phone or in person, who says, "Well, I don't have time." And I keep explaining to them that it's all the little things. ReadingTeaParty.com is a social network. So when people go and register on there, that's one more person that when the left checks in, they look and they go, "Oh, man, there sure are a lot of them." I mean, they don't. It's representative of people who care. I mean, you need to go, you need to check, talk to people, promote events, promote speakers, listen on the radio. There's tons of stuff people can do that doesn't take a lot of time.
There really are. And, Michael, can you give the listeners just a little synopsis or examples of things that are happening in some of the smaller communities around the country that exemplify the Agenda 21, things that they could say, "Oh, my gosh, that's happening in my community. I didn't know that's what that was."
Well, the generic answer to that is that the program of sustainability, which is Agenda 21 code language, is in every county in America. And what sustainability, broadly speaking, covers is first the step-by-step abolition of private property. We've got to start with understanding what private property is. We're going to defend a human's right to property. The second core ingredient of Agenda 21, sustainability, is education for global citizenship. I guarantee you that if you're sending your children to government schools and to most private schools, they are being imbued with sustainability doctrine in every classroom. Now, when I say every classroom, if you've got a high school student, the state law now requires in California that every class, that means every classroom, every teacher, must imbue the qualities of sustainability into their student. In fact, last year there was a major pollster who polled high school graduates in the year 2009 and college graduates, and over 50% of themselves, 50% of the students polled, identified themselves as global citizens, not as Americans.
Wow.
So you see, the educational system is working. If your child is in government school, he is being indoctrinated to this new world order. And the third overriding element of sustainability is to control human action. That comes in a lot of ways. Smart meters in California are a perfect example of that.
We hate smart meters.
Pardon?
We hate smart
meters.
Yeah,
we've taken that one on.
Yeah, go on with that, those smart meters. We hate those.
Well, smart meters, people are, in my area, which is Santa Cruz, we've had a moratorium put on smart meter installation, but for the wrong reason, and for a reason that's not going to last, because the reason used here is, oh, there are people worried about the health elements. Well, I'm not going to say there aren't health elements involved with the implementation of smart meters, but the real problem with smart meters is that it gives the central authority the power to monitor all of your electric use. And the purpose, the reason they want to do that, is they plan a society where electric use is severely restricted. So if you have two refrigerators in your home, smart uses will allow the central authority to know you have two refrigerators, and they'll shut one off.
Wow.
See, and people don't believe that. I've had so many conversations with people who kind of roll their eyes and they look at you and they think that's all silly. When we come back from this break, I want you to talk about the pieces of smart meter, just that concept of smart meter, and maybe give people some tips on how they can use that to lead into the topics that you cover, you know, this global agenda. I think that's really important. We are here on KCNR 1460 AM. You're listening to We the People. We're at the home of Free Fire Media.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Remember, if you want to give us a call, don't wait till the last minute. The number is 605-4567. If you want to find out who our great sponsors are, or you want to chat or stream live on the computer, go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show. And our guest today is Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. I really encourage you, while you're listening to this show, to go to freedomadvocates.org so that you can follow along on some of the issues that Michael Shaw and his team are dealing with and fighting against. It's an excellent, excellent website, one of the best I've seen, a great resource for the seizure of private property rights and all that is intended.
Absolutely. So before we left, we were kind of heading down the smart meter trail, and I have a lady online who says, oh man, we have a smart meter on our house. They say it makes it easier for them to read our meters from the road or the city sidewalk.
Yeah, then they don't have
to. So, Michael, what's the backstory on that?
Well, sure it does that. They don't have to come to your sidewalk. They read it in their office. But the purpose of smart meters is, you know, what's going to follow up smart meters, in fact, you can find them already, are what's called smart appliances. Okay. And a smart appliance takes direction from a smart meter. So, in other words, they think you're using too much power to heat your home or to cool your home, they simply turn you off. See, that's the control of humanity, well documented in the Agenda 21 protocol. These are written protocols coming out from the international community. And the smart meter is designed to be able to monitor all that you do. Now, that may seem a little futuristic, But the future is now. The technology to do these things is there. And people need to understand that Pacific Gas and Electric, the Northern California electricity provider, was at the UN's Agenda 21 conference in 1992 when Agenda 21 was unleashed upon the world.
Really?
PG&E is the most proactive proponent of Agenda 21 of any electric company in the country. Today, every electric company in the country follows PG&E.
Gosh, that makes us feel better all over.
Well, sure it does.
I didn't know that.
I can tell you that smart meters, I'm going to Florida, smart meters are in Florida, smart meters are everywhere. There is a sudden jam to get smart meters in place because that's the infrastructure for the control mechanism of tomorrow's
market. Well, and they probably want to do it as fast as they can before people figure it out and put up a fight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, some places, including Santa Cruz, have had moratoriums placed, which is wonderful. I mean, Santa Cruz was the original trial plot, one of five or six trial plots across the United States for Agenda 21. We've been afflicted with the property attacking mechanism of Agenda 21 here since before Agenda 21 came out at the UN in 1992. And yet, we're one of the few places in the state of California that's put a moratorium on smart meters. Unfortunately, it's being done for the wrong reason, so we're not really winning that battle. What's important is for people to understand that this is a step in the process, the key step in the process of being able to monitor what goes on in your home.
So what, when people you know, ask you what's the best way to push back on that, what is the best way to push back on that? There's a public meeting next Thursday, I believe, in Red Bluff at like 10 in the morning or something. I could be mistaken. I'll double check. But like 10 in the morning, and PG&E is going to be there. And they'll, of course, I'm sure, just, you know, baffle us with their engineering and how fantastic this is. But what do you recommend to people who are not scientists? I mean, they can't push back on it because of,
What can their talking points be?
Yeah, what do regular people push back about?
Well, I think until there's a broader understanding of Agenda 21, the effective pushback is almost premature, and yet you can certainly try to get to the ultimate pushback, which is Pacific Gas and Electric is sponsoring and promoting globalist Agenda 21, and they're doing that through their smart meter program. And people then have to understand, you know, if you go into a cold meeting where you're one of two people who understand Agenda 21, you're not going to get far. People are going to roll their eyes. And yet, in reality, things are changing so fast that I'm finding that almost everybody now is willing to listen to the reality of the nature of Agenda 21, how it has been adopted by the last four presidents of the United States, how every federal department has its cornerstone, its role in implementing Agenda 21. I mean, Agenda 20, smart meters are just a teeny little fraction of the overall agenda. But it's the role that power companies are to play in bringing America to a transformed new world.
Or bring America
people.
To its knees.
Well, it's really the transformation of human beings into livestock.
Yeah, and if you take away the ability to heat your home or cook your food, I mean, those are the basic fundamentals of survival. So, you know, that's sure a great place to start, isn't it?
Well, you've got to remember that a basic premise for Agenda 21 is that wealth is to be equalized both within and between nations. So nobody is to use more power than anybody else. I mean, whether you're in Northern California, or if you're in the Congo. And so that's why I say that human beings become livestock. You treat all the cows similarly. And so at the core, Agenda 21 is about knocking down the American economic system, and boy, are they succeeding.
Exactly. Well, I think everybody can see... I think everybody's noticing that at home. It doesn't even matter what line of work you're in.
That's right. And that's why receptivity to the study and understanding of Agenda 21 has become easier. Because when when people like Michael Kaufman came back from Rio de Janeiro in 1992, nobody was listening. When I started this in the year 2000, there were only a few people listening. Today, you catch somebody's ear, and it perks up.
And they know something's not right. Even if they don't understand that it's Agenda 21, they don't understand that it's the smart meters, they really don't get any of that, their gut is telling them that something good, something not good is happening.
Now good means bad? Wait a minute. All the words in our vocabulary are upside down. Smart, sustainable, everything.
Yeah.
Michael, when we come back from this break, we'd love to hear how you became involved in this. We had that question before we got started. And then we'll just kind of let you take us on a walk through Agenda 21, how you got involved, and maybe what that journey looks like for most people, and how we can help other folks get into the game. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
The Redding Tea Party. Go to reddingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show for our media page. Thank you very much, Robert, by the way, who does an awesome job on our media page. I mean, he takes everything we do and transforms it into something that we can share with friends and family across the country, whether it's radio, whether it's the videos from our Monday night meetings. The guy's incredible. Anyway, the number is 605-4567 to call if you want to give us a call, and click on Radio Show, like I said, if you want to stream live or chat. And before we get into this, I have to tell Michael Shaw my dream last night. Can I share my dream last night? Okay, so last night I dreamed that I had Aaron and I and Nate, our sound engineer, had Michael Shaw, Michael Kaufman, and Fred Kelly Grant all in the studio together, which was very cool, major powerhouse, but no one would talk. Aaron was busy on her computer. Our three powerhouses didn't know what to say, so I'm like carrying the whole 2-hour show by myself. It was really funny, and I woke up and I went, phew, I'm glad that was a dream. And I know that's not true because all three gentlemen are extremely knowledgeable and have a lot to share. So,
Michael, you haven't been rendered mute, have you?
No, I am not rendered mute.
Oh, thank goodness. It was just
a
dream.
It's possible that Michael Kaufman or Fred Grant would be either.
Yeah, we knew that. That's why I woke up and I said, well, that was just a nightmare.
That has to be
not
fake,
true.
Right? All right, so talk to us how you got into this whole Agenda 21 thing. What's your background, anyway?
Well, my background is I got out of school as a lawyer, practiced for a little while, became a CPA, practiced as an accountant for a while.
What?
And then moved into, I went with some clients of mine who were in the self-storage business, and did that for a couple of years until the economic crisis of 1979 hit, and then by 1984 I started my own self-storage company and developed self-storage facilities in western states. And in the course of all of that, I bought some land, beautiful topography, on the ocean side of Highway 1 in Santa Cruz, 75 acres of land. And it was zoned for 30 houses. I bought that land 25 years ago. I still don't have my own house.
Oh, wow.
I'm stymied at every turn. And so by 1990, I knew there was something really wrong with the Santa Cruz County Planning Department. And that experience led me to Henry Lamb and Michael Kaufman and a few other people who were explaining the status of private property in today's American world, or this was 20 years ago now, in the context of Agenda 21. And that study led to more study, and finally, this last decade, I've liquidated my company substantially, and all my attention is now directed toward alerting people to the nature of Agenda 21 and how it seeks not just to abolish private property, but to create these conditions for human control. And so here I am, still fighting the County of Santa Cruz on my land use issues, and
unbelievable.
And at the same time doing what we're doing this morning, and that is explaining to people the nature of what it is that we are up against.
But I think
to go forward from there, people need to understand what private property is. Most people think it's a thing. you know, a car or a home or land. But that's not the nature of private property. You see, private property starts with your person. Your hands are your private property. Your mind is your private property. And when it comes to something, you know, it is the nature of the relationship between you and that thing. So private property is an interaction between something and yourself. And the nature of that relationship suggests that you, as the owner of private property, whether it's a book or land or a car, is that you have the right to enjoy and control its use. Now, the United Nations says that all land must be owned by government or public-private partners, and I'll explain what public-private partners are in a minute, not by individuals. So the purpose of the United Nations is to divest all individuals of their private property. That is to deny them the relationship that they've earned, one way or another, to controlling something that they claim to own. And so that's what the fight is all about. It is to destroy the relationship between a person and those things, including land, that we now call in America private property. Now, for private property to exist, there must be a political recognition of the idea of unalienable rights. This is what's called for in our Declaration of Independence.
Right.
That is the cornerstone of America. What makes America the most extraordinary and unique experiment in the history of humanity is the idea that unalienable rights are politically recognized in this country. We're all born with unalienable rights. The question is whether or not man's instruments of government will recognize those unalienable rights and let them flourish. And of course, the American history is such that we have had recognition of unalienable rights. And that's why America has risen. Today, there is essentially no political recognition of unalienable rights, and that is why we're sinking to the common denominator of the world. And that's why Americans are increasingly unhappy, and politically unhealthy. So we have a duty to ourselves, to our children, and really to the whole human experience, to work to protect the idea of unalienable rights, the right to your life, your liberty, and your use and enjoyment of private property. Agenda 21 comes at that from exactly the opposite perspective, and that's why I say that the purpose of Agenda 21 is to turn human beings into livestock.
I love to be micromanaged. That's my favorite. And told what to do. I can't even...
Not.
Unbelievable. I look at this stuff and I think, if most people had any idea that was the end game on this, they would be... I mean, you know, people would be running around like evangelists with little flyers handing them to people.
We're going to get to that point, I think.
I think so, too. I think that's kind of a little bit what we're doing. It's kind of like, hey, is it important enough yet? The smart meter thing, it brings it to everybody's home. There's something good about that. As soon as it starts affecting everybody, then there's a chance we can get folks plugged in, because right now it's a rural issue. When we come back with Michael Shaw, in the meantime, while we're on our break here, to thank our advertisers, you might want to check out ReadingTeaParty.com. Click on Radio Show. You can read about Michael Shaw. It'll take you to his website. There's all sorts of good things there for you to do. We'll be back in just a second. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Give us a call at 605-4567 to stream live, to chat, or to see our media page listing past shows, previous shows, archives, and our sponsors. Go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show.
Absolutely. And on that Radio Show page, you can just take that page and send that link to anybody. And it gives a whole overview of the program along with the sound file, which is fantastic.
Again, thanks to Robert.
Super easy to spread the word. So, Mr. Shaw from Freedom Advocates, back with us.
Now, can you tell us about the public-private partners?
Is it time for that yet, or
is that too soon?
If you're asking me if it's time for that, I'll say yes, because
okay.
I can tie that into the broader picture pretty
simply.
Public-private partners, just think about those terms. What they're talking about is government and its private partners. Now, that ought to just ring a bell for everybody, even if you went to government school, even if you went to government school as long ago as the 1950s and 60s. When government partners with business, what do you end up with? Who in history has led political movements that binded government with private business?
Nate's jumping up and down in his chair, and he's going Hitler, fascism.
Yes, and before that it was Mussolini and corporatism.
There you go.
Okay. Well, public-private partnership is just the polite way of moving past corporatism and fascism to do the same thing. So people on the right typically label Agenda 21 as communism. It's not communism. I had a seventh grade teacher, Sister Paulette, and her warning, it was the most serious year of school I ever had in my life. Her warning was that while we prayed for the children in the Soviet Union, having to live subjected to communism. She back then, this was in 1962, said, communism is not, you know, it's a tremendous threat for the people who are affected by it. But in the long run, communism is not the great fear that people in America should have. The great fear is when communist legal principles combine with fascist economic principles to create a tyranny with the power to really stick it to you. Well, that's what Agenda 21 turns out to be. The economics of Agenda 21 are public-private partnerships, and if you look around the world today and you look at major multinational corporations, that's exactly what you'll find. Prince Charles set up his Commission on Sustainable Development back in the early 90s. The lead corporation he had on his committee, these were all multinational corporations, was British Petroleum of the famous Gulf spill variety. You see, what leaders have always known about corporations is that they can use corporations to any end, and that corporations could be thrown away like yesterday's trash, provided it provides today's benefit. So when we go to a system where government is partnering with these major corporations, we find ourselves in a world vacuum that is purely fascist. And if we look at today how America's international military might is flexed using private contractors, there are more private contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan than there are U.S. military people, we begin to see the enormous effect on the international level of combining business with government, so-called public-private partnerships. So what a sweet, clean term, and what it's doing to the world. But that's also happening inside this country, where governments and multinationals combine to establish organizations like the World Trade Organization, which effectively, in order to meet the Earth Charter requirement that wealth be equalized within and between nations, causes American manufacturing to move offshore. That wouldn't happen but for public-private partnerships. And as a consequence of that, America begins to lose its way. And today our unemployment is people say over 20% when you count the people who are no longer looking for jobs.
Yeah, especially up where we are. I mean, at this end of the at this end of the world, you're looking at, I mean, absolutely the poorest counties in the state of California.
Well, that's just a sign that you're highlighted and indicated to become part of the Wildlands Project. I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Dr. Kaufman talked to you about that.
Yeah, we are the red blobs on the map.
On the map. That means the red blob on the map, for those who aren't familiar, means that those are areas designated as wildland areas to be reserved and set aside for wild animals. Human beings in the Wildlands Project, which constitutes over 50% of the land mass of the United States, human beings are not to enter wildland areas. Now, that's not going to happen immediately. This is the agenda for the 21st century, but we see the direction taking place all the time. We can't extract resources. That's why unemployment in Oregon and Northern California is so low, because you can't cut down the trees. You can't extract the minerals from the mines in Montana. We cannot use our natural resources. We cannot go get the oil that sits under our soil. Okay? All to create this interdependence for America upon the rest of the world. It's all part of the process of globalism.
And despite what they tell us, retail will not drive the economy. It's the use of renewable natural resources that creates a strong economy, a lot of financial stability in the market and for individual families.
Well, the idea of imposing this wildlands designation across America is designed to leave people in cities holding the bag, because everything people in cities have comes from the rural area, and now the rural area of America has been made off limits, all under the guise of environmentalism.
And that's the irony of it, because, you know, politically speaking, the folks that live in the cities tend to vote Democratic and tend to support the environmental issues, and they don't know that it's going to come back and bite them.
Well, that's pretty short-sighted. But people in cities have their own battles to contend with, and that relates to the other element of Agenda 21. You know, it's the Wildlands Project for rural residents, and it's what's called smart growth. There's that word again, smart growth for people in urban areas. And that means things like smart meters. It means total control over all human action.
And they've got those little rabbit hutches all built for them right there by the BART station. I'm going to upload those onto the website later today so people can see them.
Well, I can tell you're from the country.
They're spooky.
Because those little BART stations are all over everywhere.
Yes, they are.
They're called walkable communities, where businesses go on the ground floor, you live on the upper floor, and you never have to leave your building.
Exactly. I've got photographs.
They're 30-story buildings, all designed that way.
Yeah, it's not good. When we come back from this break, we want to hear about smart growth before we go much further. You're listening to Michael Shaw here on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. We are located at readingteaparty.com. Click on the radio show, and everything you need to know is right there. Just wanted to say that we'll be taking a five-minute break at 9 o'clock, so we've just got about 5 or 6 minutes left for our first hour. And if you want to give us a call, you might want to wait until after the 905-605-4567.
All right, Michael. We played that little spy music there, so you can tell us about smart growth. That was your theme song there.
Smart growth is the other land use component of Agenda 21. The first is the Wildlands Project, which is, you know, focused on areas like Northern California. Smart growth is for the urban centers, and if we were to look at a map of the United States and look at the smart growth areas, you know, they'd be represented by small little black dots, normally along the coasts of both sides of the country, with a few black dots inside the country. And this is where human beings are to be relocated. You know, the number of ranchers in America today is 50% fewer than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So you see the effort to move people off of the wildlands and into smart growth is working. I saw an article, I think it was in USA Today, that the percentage of Americans living in cities is growing dramatically. Again, it has in the past, but it is now. So the effort to move people into these smart growth centers is working. But what smart growth is in the words of one advocate, he says, when we're finished, it will be the animals roaming freely with the humans in cages. The cages are the smart growth environment. That is why things like the bullet train in California and all over the country, financed by the bankrupt federal government oftentimes, is so key, because to move people between, say, San Francisco and Los Angeles, they want to put everybody on the same path, under the same control. And so, sure, those movers and shakers in this new world order may need to go from San Francisco to Los Angeles. And so the intention is to get people out of their cars. It's always to get people out of their cars and put them on public transportation, easier to monitor and control. So smart growth is the ultimate plan for urban monitoring. And key to achieving that is the program of smart meters, so that our use of utility product can be monitored and limited as determined by central authorities.
Wow. You'll be happy to know that our senator, Mr. Doug LaMalfa, that's coming on Monday to speak, tomorrow actually, he has put a bill forward. I believe it's Senate Bill 22 will be the number of it, and that is to defund what he calls high cost rail. we forget about the speed. You can't get up to speed in 50 miles. I think they're looking at a 50-mile thing that's going to cost us tons of money. So he's looking to defund high-cost rail. So we do have
The interesting thing that I'm seeing with regards to high-speed rail and programs like that is that as the reality of the budget circumstance becomes more and more clear, and it's even having now to be acknowledged by politicians who created the problem in the first place, is that high-speed rail is taking a real hit. The new governors of Florida, the governor of new governor in Ohio, the governor in New Jersey, have all nixed their high-speed rail systems. So the pattern has been set to undo these. In what I see is the dawning of the American austerity program. You've got to remember that liberals and conservatives, the right and the left, are just two peas in the same pod. They are both committed to Agenda 21 sustainable development, and they both move in unison on those areas that are key in the implementation of the globalist order. And right now, this high-speed rail stuff is being acknowledged as not being affordable. We've gone too far, too fast, in the degradation of our currency to be able to get this off the ground without killing the currency. So regardless of how that turns out, the political powers in control today will use that issue, yay or nay, to advance the practicalities of globalism. Or I should say the pragmatism of globalism. Because they know that as soon as they bust the dollar, which I think they intend to do, but only in the right timing, if they bust the dollar sooner and not later, they will not get their smart growth system completely in place. And so there's a battle within the bad guys. Do we want to hold our dollar long enough to get our system, our lockdown system, more in place? Or do we want to run to the finish line and get our smart rail and let the dollar bust? I think that's the battle going on within the Agenda 21 community today. And what we've seen in Europe is this austerity program where everything's cut back all of a sudden. I think that's coming to America as they work to keep their currency alive for a little longer. But of course, fiat currencies, that is money made out of thin air by globalist bankers and loaned to the rest of us.
Michael, we're coming up on a news break, and it's going to cut us off in 2 seconds. We're coming back to learn more about that in 5 minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
by the Reading Tea Party. We're in our second hour, so if you want to give us a call, the number is 605-4567. If you want to chat or stream live on your computer, go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show, and our media page will give you everything you need, including archives of past shows and future shows to come. And right now we're with Dr. Michael Kaufman.
No, we're not.
You're not a doctor.
We're not with Dr. Michael Kaufman. That was last week.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
Elizabeth's having bad dreams. She's time traveling.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to shove her out of here.
Here with Michael Shaw, Freedom Advocate.
We're brutal.
And if you are listening and you've got your computer on, go to freedomadvocates.org. That is Michael Shaw's really fabulous website, very comprehensive, really easy to follow. And that'll give you kind of an update on some of the resource issues that he's involved in. So, Michael, you're going to kind of lead us into the second hour and lay out the program for it, because you're the one with so much to share.
Well, the first thing I think I want to talk about is some of the factors that cause us not to hear about this information in general media. You know, why is it if this guy Shaw is saying this is so important, this is the grandest assault on human liberty ever designed in the course of human history, why is it that people don't know about it? Why is it that there's nothing in our newspapers and nothing in our news reports that identify Agenda 21? So I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about NGOs, non-governmental organizations. NGOs are in your community, and their role is absolutely critical to the implementation of sustainable development. You know, when you have that information, you begin to see the folly of your congressman's statement that Agenda 21 is a UN program and it's nothing for us to worry about. When you understand how the fingers come out of the internationalist community and dig right into your community, you begin to see that you simply have the wrong man representing you in Congress, but he's no different than anyone else. So I want to explain why all that happens. I want to talk a little bit about the so-called three E's, economy, equity, and environment, which are the cornerstone, I call it the slapstick, of Agenda 21. And you'll find that in your Chamber of Commerce. You'll find that all over your town. So we don't have to look out across the world to see evidence of Agenda 21. What's key is the ability to look right in our own town, identify it, because that's where the battle is. That's where you can do something about it. And that's what I want to hope. That's what I hope I can leave your listeners with an understanding of, so you can begin to take the battle to where the battleground is, and that is down at your city council and in your business community and in your planning departments. And so I want to then talk a little bit about an organization called ICLEI. I want to talk about the role of regionalism in destroying the American political system. And then we're going to talk about staving off globalism, what it is you can do and where it is the battle has to be fought.
That's an awesome list. See, I knew you should do the list. Otherwise, we'd just wander all over the place for the next hour. So for all those people that are going, I wonder what he's going to talk about, now you know. One of the big things with this is people will say that this is a conspiracy theory. But as we learned with Dr. Michael Kaufman last week, in person, on the radio, in his book, there's about 9 million ways you can go do this research. I think we did I did a web search last week on the radio, and it was 80 million hits or 70,800,000 hits when I looked up Agenda 21. I mean, this is not tough stuff to find.
It is not. There's nothing theoretical about it. And, you know, it was a conspiracy. But, you know, if you and I plan to rob the bank of Siskiyou County tomorrow morning, and we make that plan today. Today, we are involved in criminal conspiracy. Tomorrow, we're just involved in a crime. The conspiracy goes away once you walk into the bank and start its robbery. What's happened with Agenda 21 is that it was never theory. It was a conspiracy. today they're inside the bank, they're inside your city hall, they're inside your school system, they're inside everything. The robbery is occurring. It is just a straight crime that is being committed against the American people.
Well, we are going to take a really quick break, then we're going to come back, and we're going to knock down all the things on Michael Shaw's list. Go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show if you haven't already, and read a little bit about all this. You are listening to We the People. We're on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. So we're going to get right back to Michael Shaw of FreedomAdvocates.org. Michael, go with it.
Well, let's start with a question. Why is it that major media does not address this issue? That's a simple question. It causes most people to think that, an articulation like what I'm doing today is crazy land. Because after all, I would have heard about this from Sean Hannity, or I would have seen something on CNN that would have given me evidence that what he's talking about is true. So how do I reconcile the fact that all of our trusted news and information sources don't address this issue? Why is that? And the answer to that is simple. If we look at the nature of the monetary system in America, and more people have, the great work of Ed Griffin in his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. People haven't seen that or know about that. That's a book I heartily recommend. And people like Ron Paul, who's made the monetary system a key focus of what it is he talks about. How does the fiat money system make possible Agenda 21? Well, if we understand the nature of fiat money, that is money literally made out of thin air by a narrow group of globalist bankers, certainly includes the Rothschilds and, Chase Manhattan Bank and, all Bank of America, all the major banking centers of America, and banks all across the world, the Rothschilds and, other internationalist bankers. These are the people who, through central banks like our Federal Reserve, are given by our Congress the power to print the money. And it is Bernanke who decides how much money gets printed. And what does he do when he prints the money? Well, he loans it to the government. Well, we have $14 trillion that our government now owns the centralist bankers. The centralist bankers own the world. The money that they make out of thin air and loan to us and comes back to them in the form of interest payments is used to buy up everything. They own the media in this country. That's why there's only 5 or 6 media companies left. The newspapers are conglomerated, and the ownership reflects the ideas of the people at the base of the monetary system. You don't do it their way, you're out of a job. If Bill O'Reilly, or if Glenn Beck were to talk about Agenda 21, Rupert Murdoch, a globalist who owns Fox News, would fire him. So Beck talks about everything, but will never mention Agenda 21. Because if people understood Agenda 21, the globalist charade would be over. The internationalist bankers would be, would pay the price for what they've done to humanity, and we'd be free again. But what has happened over 100 years of fiat monetary system in the United States, began in 1913, is that all the economic power, the creation of multinational corporations, etc., has been centralized. Centralization is the key to creating tyranny. Decentralization, the idea of the American political system, is the key to maintaining freedom and liberty. Because we have been duped into this monetary system brought to us by Woodrow Wilson and supported by every elected politician since, we are in a deep hole. This fiat monetary system controls the American political parties. The American political parties are fully committed to Agenda 21. The GOP, this disturbs a lot of people when they get this information, but the GOP is a member of what's called the IDU, that's International Democrat Union. You say, why would the Republican Party be a member of the International Democrat Union? Well, the reason is that the International Democrat Union defines itself, if you go to IDU.org, it defines itself as a collection of 80 political parties from around the world who are all right of center. Well, that's why the Conservative Party of Great Britain, the Labour Party of Australia, and the GOP are the three leaders of this 80 political party organization from around the world. Now, why do I bring it up? Well, the IDU's purpose, you look at its purpose statement on its internet, is for the universal adoption of the UN's Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, it is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that seeks the abolition of private property, that seeks a one-world government. You say, well, the GOP wouldn't be a member of such an organization. And I say, no, it's a leader in that organization. It's led within the party by George Bush Sr. and Haley Barbour, governor of Mississippi, former party chairman, now wanting to run for president. The GOP is fully in bed with the globalist movement under Agenda 21. And if you are a congressman or higher, and you're not part of that, you will simply be expunged by your party. The Democrat Party has what's called the Democrat Leadership Council. The Democrat Leadership Council was designed by Tony Blair. Tony Blair is the former chairman of the British Fabian Socialist Society, and Fabian Socialism is what grew out of, you know, Marxism. But it said, no, we're going to do it differently. We're going to take time. We're not going to do this by violent revolution. We're going to take time. We're going to control all the institutions of society.
A nice slow creep.
A nice slow creep.
We're going to come right back on that note. Hold that thought. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hey, we're in the second hour of We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Chat or stream live, readingteaparty.com. Click on radio show. It's all there on the media page. So this is for Carrie in Illinois. Our chat room's going crazy, and Carrie got connected to us through your website, Michael.
Freedom Advocate. She's like, hey, I like that music. I'm like, hey, if you're going to listen from Illinois, we'll play the music for you again. So, Michael, you've got fans.
Yeah, we also stream worldwide, just so you know.
Chat to the fans.
Well, I think the globalists know they have limited time before truth gets out. And so they're in a mad, frantic rush right now to bring things literally down. And that's why it is the case that the people who understand what's behind all of this can take some steps to protect themselves. You know, and I always like to think that there are maybe four key steps to take. The first is to have barter, you know, and some people might think that's gold and silver. Others might think it's seeds. Whatever it is, you know, in the event the world's financial system collapses, you want to be able to work with people who understand what brought it about, so that you can protect yourselves and live to a new day of liberty. So you need barter to get through that process. You need some self-defense, you need to have yourself out of debt, because if you're in debt and the system collapses, they're going to own you, and that's not a position you want to be in. So the reality is that we're in a dangerous period of human history, and it's going to become more so as time proceeds. A lot of people don't want to hear that, and I'm the last guy who wants to say that, but reality is reality, and today we look around and we can see something is really wrong. And so we can close our eyes and cross our fingers and walk into their ambush, or we can become in tune, alert, awake, defensive, and begin to establish a position that will allow us to carry on the promise of the American experience, that is a life for each of us that is our own and not one that is being designed and directed by centralized forces that view human beings as nothing more than livestock. Well, we were talking about fiat money and its ability to control the systems that we live under and live with. And if there is any direct cause that I would attribute to the rise, the silent rise of Agenda 21, it is the nature of our monetary system. So I don't think we get out of this problem until that system changes, but if you're sitting up in Redding, California, you say, well, I can't do anything about that. And that's true. You know, the battle, we have to start right at the base. We have to throw Agenda 21 policies out of our town. We've got to identify them. We've got to expose them to our, you know, to our citizen friends. We've got to cause our elected officials to get out from under the thumb of the prevailing dynamics of American politics. That's Democrat and Republican. That's League of Cities. It's the ICLEI organization. Let me pause and explain what the ICLEI organization is. ICLEI is the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. It is an NGO, a non-governmental organization, which means that it is accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing Agenda 21. There are literally thousands of NGOs in America today. It includes the obvious ones like the Sierra Club and the Audubon Society, but it's a left-right dynamic. That's what brings us Agenda 21, is the left-right-right synthesis, because the Chamber of Commerce is also an NGO. The National Board of Realtors is an NGO. That's why these rabbit houses, as you call them, are being built and supported by your local broker. That's because from on top, their organization is committed to this new order.
Yeah, see, I think we all anticipate that Sierra Club and those guys are in on it, but what? Chamber of Commerce and what was the other one? Board of Realtors?
And it's a little scary.
Who else?
Who isn't in on it?
Yeah.
Well, you and I aren't.
Oh, yeah.
And the average American isn't. And most of the people who even work at the Chamber of Commerce would say, well, now the guy's proved himself to be nuts, because it's just not the case. But what we have to remember there, and what those people need to recognize, is that Vladimir Lenin's insights are true today. He said, this is the 1920s, he's running Russia, he said, most of our agents don't understand our philosophy. Most are simply useful idiots.
Wow.
But if you go to Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce is here in Santa Cruz, are fully dedicated to smart growth.
That's what we're finding when we look at a lot of the websites for these things. That's when people think that this is a big conspiracy and this stuff isn't really happening. And oh, I always tell them, I go to their website and just start following the links, and you can usually walk your way right back to Agenda 21 almost every single time.
Yes. You know, I'm speaking in Florida this week, and there the Chamber of Commerce is way beyond anything I've seen in California, and they promote the American Chamber of Commerce's vision of public-private partnerships.
Yikes. So are you going to straighten them out, or are you just going to talk about them to other people?
Well, you know, it's always a bit sensitive, because most Americans like to think we're living in America. And it's very disturbing for them, and the human psyche is such that you do not want to accept that is ugly and that is right in front of you. That's why the Jewish people got on those trains and went to Auschwitz, etc. They didn't think it could be that bad. We're facing the same situation today, ladies and gentlemen. Only this time, as Nikita Khrushchev promised us in 1959, they are taking America down without firing a shot.
From the inside out.
From the inside out. And so when your congressman, I keep, you know, I read this and it's just stuck in my mind. When he says, oh, the UN, don't worry about them, they're ineffective. What about the thousands of NGOs that they license for purposes of implementing their program? Don't tell me that the Chamber of Commerce and the Sierra Club are ineffective.
No, they've been extremely effective. We're going to come back on NGOs in just here in just a second. We're going to thank our advertisers for helping us run this program here. You're listening to We the People on KCNR, Chester Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Real quickly, our chat room is on fire. ReadingTeaParty.com, radio show, takes you to the media page. And I got to tell you, folks, if you like this, you need to go back into the archives because we have had weeks and weeks of this kind of information from these kind of experts.
And you can listen to it all online. We're with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocate.
Okay, go back to it, Michael.
Well, NGOs are something that we all need to understand and be leery of. And I'll just repeat that an NGO is an organization, so-called non-governmental organization. The words never mean what you think they mean. When they talk about sustainability, they're talking about the opposite. When they're talking about non-governmental organizations, no, they're talking about the governmental framework for the New World Order is what they're talking about. NGOs are accredited by the United Nations. The way you get the designation of NGO is you have to be accredited by the United Nations for purposes of playing your role in implementing Agenda 21.
Oh, so it's not just a label that we call them that? They actually sign up to be an NGO?
Oh, yeah, it's an official capacity. That is an international status.
Did not know that. How do we do that? How do we look it up?
Well, I'm...
Is it on your site, probably?
Well, there's an article, NGOs. If you just Google on our site, NGOs, you'll get the specific documents that
Great.
Evidence that reality.
And that's freedomadvocates.org for the people that are going, what site?
And I just found the International Democratic Union online, and oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, go to the purpose statement. And you'll see that the Republican Party's involvement in the IDU is a treasonous act. They're talking about you can't have a Declaration of Independence while living by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. You know, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that is the UN's governing document. Supported by the IDU, supported by the GOP, actually says in its Article 29, Section C, that all the rights and freedoms granted herein are subject to policies and principles as adopted from time to time by the UN. So in other words, your right to speak freely is as good as long as they say you can. That is the political derecognition of everything that Americans know to be unalienable. Government is limited. It cannot take our right to speak freely, even if it's serving its own purpose. But not according to the UN's declaration. And that is the declaration to which the GOP has sworn allegiance. This is not a leftist movement. It is a left movement. It is a right movement. It is the synthesis of the worst of both.
Wow. I think that's the part that a lot of people... You know, it's interesting. We've been, I think all of us have been talking to folks in the last, month or so, that really in 2012, the big danger isn't the left. The big danger is that we won't see this coming from the right, what we think is the right. You're kind of putting a fine point on that.
Hey, and we've got Cindy online, too, who's got a question for Michael. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Shaw. I am very impressed with your oratory style. You're putting a lot of difficult information out in a really understandable way. Thank you very much. Also, I have a couple questions. Regarding the smart meters, do you have any concept of time frame for that? And what sort of thing do you, as a just a person, planning to do? It looks like a trap, and you can't avoid it.
Well, we're going to end up in some of their traps before we extricate ourselves fully. When it comes to smart meters, what I did is I posted a notice that's been rocketed around. We've got it somewhere on our site. A notice that they are not to put a smart meter on our PG&E pole. Now, we got saved in this county by our Board of Supervisors, our fully committed Agenda 21 Board of Supervisors. But they got enough complaints from the so-called leftist community within town, they put a moratorium on. I still would suggest that you post up your meter with this expression prohibition, telling them that they are not to put a smart meter on your meter.
Would you recommend that for city utilities as well?
We'll help you
absolutely
feel comfortable in standing your ground. But the key, I think, is to use smart meters as a way to begin or to introduce your community to the advance of Agenda 21 in your town. Now, there are many other evidences in your community of the advance of Agenda 21, but smart meters hit everybody right between the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can begin to understand what a smart meter means in phase 2 and 3 of its development, that is, you get these intelligent
intelligent appliances that communicate with them.
Right. So they can, if you've got a freezer in your house, they can turn off the freezer. That's what a smart meter is designed to do, to turn off anybody who's using more than their share.
Yikes.
Which isn't that what you can afford?
the system is changing. All people are to be treated, are to have equal economic distributions to them, both within a country and between countries.
And not determined by
their own self. The idea is to take down American opulence, if you will. That's defined as anything middle class.
Mm.
And put us on a par with people in South America or Africa or in the outbacks of Asia. It is to neuterize all American exceptionalism. It is to treat human beings as livestock. You don't treat that cow any differently than you treat that cow. When it comes time for slaughter, it's time for slaughter.
Well, Cindy, are you going to run out there and put a sign on your meter now?
I just think that I just got on that Tea Party website. It is so chock full of information. That's
Thank
really
you,
great,
it is.
And I'm glad to hear that there's something, at least something to do that's civil. Thank you very much for your time, and I really appreciate the radio show. Have
Thanks,
a good day.
Cindy. You too.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. We're going to take a quick break here, come back with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates. So if you are at home and you're hanging by your computer, go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show. You can pull some of the links that we've been talking about, and we will come right back with you in a couple of minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Got to tell you, the chat room's on fire. If you want to know how your like-minded neighbors feel, go to readingteaparty.com, click on Radio Show, go to the media page, and join in. And we're back with Michael Shaw.
Well, it's good to be back here. I mean, I think places like Reading, Northern California generally, I mean, you people have no electoral voice in Sacramento.
No kidding.
None of us have any electoral voice in Washington, D.C. And, and this is how we're being taken down. But if you organize yourself around fighting the local application, remember Agenda 21's battlefield is global to local. They cannot win their battle without taking it into your town and putting it through your mindless city council people who go along and try to rise up the ladder in the political process, and that means you don't talk about Agenda 21. You don't fight Agenda 21. You advance Agenda 21 and your career advances. Now, that may not be a conscious thought on the part of every city council person or every board of supervisor person, but it is a conscious thought in the minds of those in the know. And the rest of them intimidate and quiet down and don't talk about these things. That's what's taking America down. Once you understand the dynamic, you can become a candidate for a school board or a fire board or a water board, because it's the water departments that implement the local application of Agenda 21 policy. And that application in regards to water, we learned from the World Bank, another globalist governing institution, that water distribution is to be 10 gallons of water per person per day. That's worldwide. The average American uses 140 gallons of water. What that means is they've got to cut the water distribution systems in America. If you're up in Reading, you know enough about Klamath to see how they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming at them on water from every single angle, which brings
every
me...
Every angle.
It reminds me, next week we'll be talking with Craig Chenoweth from the Protect Our Water Group and the Shasta County Water Users about that issue. As a matter of fact, we probably should have you call in and help them.
People who fight the issue to save an overlying landowner's use and control over the water under his land, the people fighting that issue largely don't understand Agenda 21. So they're doomed to fail because they're not recognizing the source of the problem and the real enemy in the battle.
Hey, just
if you don't get Agenda 21, you will not get a proper layout of whatever issue it is that you're focused on.
Hey, real quick, I'm on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce website, and under their link, Facing Our Energy Realities, and I quote, encourage free and fair trade of energy resources and technologies globally, becoming more globally integrated by promoting free trade, eliminating trade barriers, and ending discriminatory content and trade policies.
Well, we could have a whole show about trade policy, the Chamber of Commerce.
Not to get you off track there.
Which indirectly is the American Chamber of Commerce's international division is led by one of the Bush boys. I forgot his first name, but it's one of George Bush's
brothers. Yeah, Bush boy is good.
Isn't it Jeb?
No, Jeb is a son. This would be a brother of the senior Bush.
Oh.
Nate, you don't get a gold star on that one. That was Nate's idea.
You know, the reality is that the trade policy, when they're talking about free trade, it's not free trade. It's trade managed by the World Trade Organization in order to meet the objectives of global governance. And the Chamber of Commerce is the source of that dynamic for American business people.
Yeah.
Well, just to give you an example, a local example of how people are demonized for even learning about this. When Michael Kaufman was here speaking to the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference, 10 days ago or so, at their breakfast, he gave a great talk for like 45 minutes, and he had some books there, Rescuing a Broken America. And our sheriff and one of our Board of Supervisor members went back there, and they were like, oh, I think I'll get a book and read about this. Well, that showed up in the local paper. Oh, the sheriff, the implication was the sheriff and the Board of Supervisor member, oh, they're loonies, they bought the book. I'm thinking, how could buying a book and learning something be a bad thing?
Unless you don't want them to learn about it.
But that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, the pressure is overwhelming. And I attribute everything back to the nature of money. I was a little boy, but there was a song back in the 50s about money. Is it the root of all good or the root of all evil? And I grew up thinking, well, it depends upon the person. But when you get to the root of the real issue here is that when you've got a dishonest monetary system, money is primarily used as a root of evil. It can seed this kind of globalist collectivism that is arranged in order to destroy the essence of humanity. to take away our humanity and to make us into something else. They call it transformation or change. But the reality is that the objective of these globalist operators, including the last four presidents of the United States, is to make us part of a global order where our humanity is denied.
Ah.
And Elizabeth's nightmare comes true. We're all rendered speechless.
Yeah. Not because we don't have plenty to say, trust me.
I think what people like the last caller need to recognize, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow. When, you know, Agenda 21 came to me in the year 2000 via a woman in town who was being labeled a conspiracy theorist and a nutcase all over the radio stations. But she lives in my little town, and one day she brought me a stack of documents from the World Bank. And it was quite evident to me that the process of globalized public-private partnership was not only supported and financed and sanctioned, it had already been achieved. And that realization for me caused me to get sick for about 12 days.
Mm.
Right. I haven't been sick. I have not been sick since. Okay.
Oh.
The first swallowing of this pill, if it's coming to you in a you know, out of the blue in a shocking manner, can be disturbing.
It knocks the wind out of
you. The good news of swallowing that pill is that once you get by the shock, there are plenty of things we can do. They're all fighting locally. We cannot change as individuals what's going on in D.C., much less what's going on in Geneva. But we can change what's happening in our town. And, that's a process that all Americans can become a part of.
That's so true. And, you know, we promote that all of the time to all of the volunteers that have gotten involved in our Tea Party movement in Northern California. There's so much you can do on a local level. There's a million meetings to go to in your very own neighborhood, in your own school district, in your own water district. You don't have to know what you're doing. Just show up.
Nate's got us listening to I Fought the Law and the Law Won. That's not it. It's supposed to be We Win. We're going to come back in just a couple seconds here. We've got 8 more minutes with Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, so stay tuned. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Back for the last few minutes of We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. You know, we were just talking that as we were leaving, mainstream media, I don't care if it's Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, CNN, whoever, whatever, not the place for truth anymore. You need to find radio shows like this. You need to find websites like Michael Shaw's website. And you need to pass the word. And if you go to our link on readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, we have ways for you to email archives and current shows to people anywhere. And this show does stream live worldwide. So there's lots of options out there for you if you're looking for the truth. So, Michael, what do you want to
do with your last 5 minutes?
Well, let's talk about 5 practical steps that anybody can take to help mitigate against these circumstances. The first would be to recognize and resist the trend to replace political boundaries with regional governance. Now, we didn't talk about regionalism in this session, but if people don't understand what regionalism is, they need to come to understand. Charlotte Iserbeet, a writer in these fields, has a good essay called Regionalism is Communism. Now, fascist societies are also regionalist. What regionalism means is you take an area, a watershed, and you design your rules around a watershed, that is, a place with no electoral boundaries. And you put the watershed authority in the hands of, a cog. You know, a cog is one of these organizations that creates a fourth system of government in the United States, just like MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations. So regionalism is the thrust to which California and the nation are moving. Regionalism destroys electoral responsibility. And so your regional organization, I don't know what it's called up there, you have one, tells your Board of Supervisors and tells your county city councils what to do. This is a shadow form of world governance. It is why your city councils and board of supervisors do the wrong thing. It's because they're taking their water policy direction, their air policy direction, from the wrong organizations. You know, the California Regional Air Authority, the California Regional Water Authorities are all designed to establish this new system of government that must be resisted. Cause people in your town to begin to understand the problems associated with regional governance. Two, refuse local government receipt of federal or state money for any new sustainable development program. Now you have to study your own town to come up with the players in sustainable development and their programs and get yourself out of them. Don't take the money for them. Because if you take the money for them saying, well, we get our share back, and this is what the government's going to use it for. The purpose of sustainable development programs is the piecemeal abolition of private property. And if you think that when private property is abolished, that your life gets better, then you don't understand history.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, before we wind up having to have that, you know, we're all done thing, regionalism is communism was an article written by who?
Charlotte Iserbeet. Iserbyt.
Great.
We've got a lot on our site on regionalism. Okay. You can just Google regionalism, and you'll learn what you need to know on that subject.
That's freedomadvocates.org.
Correct.
All right. Okay. Very cool.
Number three.
Number three, we need to avoid local government partnerships with the federal government, with NGOs, psychically, foundations and corporations that advance sustainable development. Because once you make partners with these organizations, you're doomed. Okay? The battle is always local. Globalism does not happen at the World Bank level. They have to have a local infiltration, and that's what's going on today. And that's where you become important. Kick it out of your town. The first county to kick sustainable development policies out by removing them all is the county that will sound the shot heard around the world.
Absolutely true. I.e. Wisconsin right now.
Well,
don't mean to get you off track again.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the context that's discussed in Wisconsin right now is in the context of the overall picture of Agenda 21.
No, it's not. I'm just thinking that...
Yeah,
you know,
that's what needs to be understood, because it's a whole lot deeper than public collective bargaining. Right?
Yeah, it is.
And yet, you know, we got to start somewhere, and that governor is making a stab. That's a good thing to do, but I wouldn't have any confidence that Governor Walker is aware of or committed to the expose of Agenda 21.
No,
and
but
if you're
like,
not.
Yeah, but like you said, the first county that steps up will probably start the trend for others.
That's right. Okay, fourth, we need to understand and enforce the role of public officials in your community to administer government in a manner that protects individual liberty and ensures equal justice. And what that means is that you, Mr. Listener, need to run for public office once you understand these things.
We've got about 45 seconds.
Okay, and the last thing is, we need to all know and understand the Constitution, to which the elected officials swore an oath, with particular attention to Article 1, Section 8. That tells you what government can do. We need to understand the 9th and 10th Amendments, which address limitations on federal power, and the 14th Amendment, which limits the state's police power. When we understand those things, we'll have tools to go into our city councils and board of supervisors, our school boards, our fire boards, and begin to cause them to stop implementing the policies of Agenda 21.
Holy cow. Michael Shaw from Freedom Advocates, you are awesome. We're having you back. We got more to do on Agenda 21. This is We the People signing off for another great week. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Stop.